everybody who doesn't know me, I'm Anya, I'm 18, and I'm the daughter and sister of the Viljoen kind of like clan over there, the Viljoen family, if you will. And so today, even though much to the leadership team's imminent horror, I'm sure, I'm not actually going to be talking about what I said I was originally talking about on a spur of the moment change. So sorry about that. If you came in for tolerance, I'm not actually speaking on tolerance. But so I've decided to instead kind of talk about the topic of change. So why did I kind of shift my topic focus from tolerance to change? So kind of honestly, in the past couple of weeks, maybe even months, I felt quite not uneasy in my faith, but kind of unsettled. So I didn't feel quite comfortable in my relationship with God. So I always trusted that he existed, like that was, you know, a given. But I was just so kind of like uncomfortable and just in my gut feeling, I was like, something is not right here. My relationship just isn't how it should be and how it's been in the past. And it kind of got to the point, and by point, I literally mean last Sunday, on the way back from Scotland, where I was like to my dad, I'm gonna have to cancel this. I cannot stand in front of these people. I'll feel like such a hypocrite standing there when my relationship is so like just not right and something just isn't good there. And if I'm honest, I didn't feel quite settled with the topic of change, topic of tolerance either, because I was kind of like, normally I like to use these sessions as like a kind of a stimuli, kind of a catalyst to deepen my own relationship with God, and the preparation I do gives me a space to reflect. I'm such a busy person, I don't always get a chance just to sit and reflect on God. And I felt as if the topic of tolerance maybe wouldn't give me that opportunity, even though it's something I'm really passionate about, and maybe in the future I'll talk about that in its own right. But right now it just didn't feel right with me. And so I kind of did what I probably should have done from the beginning, and I just kind of prayed and reflected about the situation. I just created a space on the car, on the drive back. You know, everyone's talking, my mum's sleeping, my dad's listening to music, my sister's, I don't know what she was doing. And I'm just like, give me some space so I can think. And then I'm like, I'm just kind of reflecting on everything what's happening in my life. And I started to think about all these changes I'm going through, and just how, like, for example, you know, I'm going to university in 2 weeks, and I'm kind of changing new city, I'll be increasingly more independent, you know, I'll be sharing a flat with 7 people I've never met in my life, but somehow we'll be bumping into each other at 2 a.m. and we're looking for the snacks. But, and I was just like, all this fear and anxiety, this all these changes were like kind of making me feel. And then I started to think about all the changes our church is going through right now and has gone through for a long period, especially when, you know, for this 18 years I've been at this church, the massive changes it's gone through. Like, you know, we have so many new families now, which is amazing. But also on a personal level, so many people I know are going through these massive, massive changes, you know, job changes, changes to secondary school, you know, Crystal's going to Townsend, and all these new different changes which are happening. And also, like, on a completely bigger scale to my own problems, people have completely moved countries. And, you know, we have so many different nationalities at this church, which is just so nice. But I just kept thinking, all this angst these people must be feeling from these massive changes they've had to make in their life, and often just in faith. And so I just started to think, where is God in all of this? Like, where is God in all this anxiety and fear? And like, where is he right now? And how can I use him as a tool to help me tackle these fears around change? And because it's such a thing, like, it should be an exciting thing, but change just causes so much, like, I don't know what it is. It just makes me feel so fearful. And I don't know, maybe it's something which you all kind of relate with as well. So if I start to build up my argument, switching into lawyer mode. So what exactly is it about change that causes difficulty? So I had 2 kind of reflections on this. Reflection 1 was that the uncertainty and the fear of the unknown causes anxiety and difficulty. Reflection number 2 was the sadness and loss of leaving things you've come to know as your life behind you. And in essence, what I've tried to do is, in an attempt to deepen my own relationship and to go through my own process of change, is I've tried to found kind of scriptures which speak to me on each of those 2 points, and just try to analyse and find exactly where is God in all of this. And hopefully it can be useful to you as well. So my first reflection was, of course, around the uncertainty and the fear of the unknown, what change kind of causes. So my first solution, because obviously it's not that simple, it's a very complex topic, my first kind of thought was, you can overcome fear through faith. So Mark 5, 36 says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." So what I really like about this verse is it seems to demonstrate how beautifully simple God has made this solution. You know, don't be afraid, just believe. And like, it just seems to highlight to me that God rectifies all situations, but all he asks from us is to have faith and to have belief. He's like, you know what? I've got it. Don't be afraid, but you just have to believe. And I mean, on paper, it sounds so easy. It's like, just believe. But in practice, I mean, speaking from personal experience, it is not that easy. Like, that level of unwavering faith is so difficult. Particularly, I think, because we live in this world which is so consumed with suffering and sadness. I mean, Afghanistan right now, it's heartbreaking. It breaks my heart to see. And like, we're stepping out of a pandemic. You know, so many lives have been lost, so many jobs have been lost, and it's this unemployment is at a massive amount right now, and there's so much suffering. And I think in this world, we look at it and our faith starts to weaken, you know, it starts to reduce because we see so much pain, we witness so much pain, we become almost disillusioned, and it reaches a point where we start to think, where is God in all of this? Where is God? Why is he not answering my prayers? Where is he? And I don't know. I realise the extent to which faith is kind of, it's threatened by all this suffering, which obviously does not come from God. You know, he didn't want this to happen as it did. But unfortunately, that's how we're living. So no wonder change becomes difficult, because we no longer have the required faith to tackle the uncertainty. We don't have God as a security blanket or a comfort blanket anymore, because we don't view him in that way. But the good news is, luckily, we're Christians, so we live in this new covenant. We live in the covenant of Jesus, where everything is new, and we can view change through a lens of faith, hope, and joy. Because Jesus, you know, he died for us. We live in the aftermath of the resurrection and the crucifixion. So now we can set our sights on God, because he was already prepared to die for us. And if someone's prepared to die for us, all our other needs are certified. You know, I switched into slang there. All our other needs are certified. No, sorry. All our other needs are set. Sorry. I was in Brighton a couple of weeks ago, so I'm like... So all our other needs have been looked after for. You know, they're taken care of. All we have to focus on is the fact that he was willing to die for us. And when we focus on that pure, beautiful fact, I feel like change becomes so easy for me. I just put my sights on God and the resurrection and the, you know, what he's already done for me. And when I focus on that, all the other experiences of pain, they don't seem as important anymore. Secondly, my second kind of thought in response to the uncertainty that change causes is that perhaps we have to change our understanding, our perception of the world. So my favourite verses, and if I had a penny for the amount of times I use it, like in my day-to-day basis, I'd be a rich man, is Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't rely on your own understanding. If you acknowledge him in all your ways, he will set your path straight. And what I think I love about this verse, and it speaks so profoundly to me every time I meditate and reflect on it, is it reminds me that my focus, my duty as a Christian, thank you, duty as a Christian, is to not rely on my own understanding, but instead focus on God's understanding and perception of the world. You know, my duty is to include him in everything I do, particularly my worries and fears, to include him and he will set my path straight. And secondly, again, what I love about this verse, and this is genuinely a verse I use in all situations, like it is my go-to thing. I'll be worrying about where my shoes are. He'll be like, trust in the Lord, do not rely on your own understanding. And I think it speaks to me so profoundly, because it's just this reminder that actually often the root of my worries is my own perception of the situation, if you're with me. So for example, it's a trivial example, but if in an exam I'm worried about how my exam went, I'm like, oh, I definitely didn't get those answers right. I'll just hear in my head, you know what, don't rely on your understanding, trust in God. And I just somehow I feel liberated every single time, because my perception is what's causing my worries. But when I decide to kind of step into God, I feel liberated, because his world doesn't have worries. You know, he's love, he's joy, he's peace, he's faith. And there's no worry in that. And when I step into his understanding of the world, I feel so liberated and change becomes so easy. Also, I always get this verse wrong, I'm just gonna check. Yeah, Another verse I use is to trust in God's might. So John 16, 33 says, "In the world there will be tribulation, but fear not, for I have overcome the world." And it just, again, it reminds me to view change through the lens of his fundamental attributes of power and might. When we focus on his power and might, we remind ourselves that actually, while we're going through so much change in our life, we have this amazing, powerful figure standing right beside us. And I feel such a level of peace and protection. And then I remind myself he's the Prince of Peace. So it's not like the power and the war we see in our world today. With his power comes peace. There's no violence and there's no destruction. When I step into his power, change becomes easy because I feel his peace he brings alongside with it. And my final reflection to point number one, which is the uncertainty change causes, is God's an anchor. So Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "The Lord does not change, so you, descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." So for me, who's a massive control freak to the point where I literally plan everything, I feel so overwhelmed by change because there's so much, like I said, uncertainty, and I'm just never quite sure what's going to happen. But when I focus on the fact that God is, like this verse tells us, you know, immutable, unchanging, constant, fixed, an anchor, I feel such a deep sense of relief. Because in all this change, which is so overwhelming at times, when I set my sights on God, who is this constant figure of love, I feel peace. I find reassurance in the uncertainty through the certainty and the continuity of God. And I just feel like he's this North Star, this kind of guiding light who guides me through all these changes, and hopefully for you as well, all the turbulence in your life. And when he guides you through that turmoil, he takes you to that peaceful pastures. You know, he's a shepherd, it's in his nature. He takes you to where you find your peace. And it's through his constant nature that we find the peace and change. Okay, so if you're still with me, my next second thought on why change is kind of so difficult is, like I said, the loss and the sadness of leaving things behind. So obviously right now, I mean, like I said, I can't even begin to imagine the difficulties it is to leave home, your homeland, your country, and to come to a completely new country. It's insane. Like, I can't begin. I admire you so much for it, and I can only say I have so much respect. And I just think that in all this change, I think it's really important to acknowledge the difficulty of it. And actually, there requires a lot of acceptance. And I think there needs to be a time for you to say, actually, this is such a complex thing. I'm allowed to grieve. I'm allowed to think about what I've left behind. But once you've gone past that kind of step, and I'm no psychologist, but I know that's a step on the grief ladder. When you go past that acceptance phase, you have to move into the next phase, which is kind of the best phase, is finding the joy and the excitement in what's to come. And I think, so this is just a trivial example, this is not theologically related, but when I'm kind of worried about the future, my go-to kind of like reaction where I kind of sort it out is through kind of imagining that I live in like a TV show. So like each phase of my life is a different season, essentially. So primary school and like secondary school was like season 2-ish, and like the pandemic had like a whole season to itself because it was awful. So that's season 3, and then university will be kind of season 4. And it makes me so excited because I start to think about all these different plot lines which are going to be introduced into my life, all these new side characters, all these new people, and it gives me so much joy and excitement because like I'm about to like go into this whole new season of my life, and it gives me kind of a sense of peace throughout all the change. And similarly, if we're Christians, we have an even better way of doing that. Because as it says in Jeremiah, you know, I have plans to give you hope and a future, plans to give you prosper you. And I mean, I just think about the fact that I was literally knitted in my mother's womb for a specific purpose. Every time I go through a new change, I'm evolving. My purpose is getting bigger. And it gives me such excitement because every time I change in my life, I'm like, well, this is just another part of God's plan, you know? I'm stepping into a new phase of his plan for me. And it gives me such excitement. Like, I feel such a level of joy to think my life and my plan is still unveiling. And I think from whatever age, 18 to 70, your plan hasn't stopped. You know, you're still here, so you've still got something for you to do. And next time you go through a change, you're like, you know what, actually, this is the next part of my life. And it gives me so much excitement. I'm so excited for all of you. Like, in every stage you go through, you've got something new coming for you. And then I think when you think about that, change becomes so much easier, because the loss you've lost, it's sad, it's awful, and you're allowed to, like, you know, think about that. But once you've got past that, focus on the new stuff which is coming forward and the new joy you'll find in your life, which your father's going to give to you. Final thought. So in response again to kind of the loss and sadness, I think it's really what helps me again is to focus on God's love for me as a father. You know, I'm his child. And I often think, well, if we say in Ephesians, you know, it says you're his masterpiece. He's created you for the good works that he's prepared for. In Lamentations, you know, it says that his great love never fails. You will never be consumed because his compassions never fail. And time and time again, we're reminded of Genesis when he created Adam and Eve and he thought about creating us, moulding us. And I often think, obviously this is probably not biologically correct, but I often think that he created this idea of parents and family to have a snippet of what it feels like for him to love us. So obviously we need to survive, and that's important as well. But I think more importantly, family reminds us of the love he has for us. And when we focus on that love, we realise actually no matter what we go through in our life, he wants what's best for us, he's there for us. And when we completely meditate on that love, we feel this sense of joy, because he's our father and he loves us and he wants to take us on this journey with him. He wants to protect us, he wants to hold on to us, he wants to embrace us. And when we feel that love, I feel peace. And I hope you feel peace as well. When you feel the full extent of his love, my dad's favourite verse is, well, let me find it. It's 1 John 4. His perfect love that drives out fear. A reminder, you know, that fear is not linked to love. There is no fear in perfect love, God's limitless love. And we focus on his love as a parent, all fear is driven out. And we step into this new world, this new family where God loves us. And we don't have to fear change because we're part of God's family. We're his sons and his daughters, and we're liberated by that. So, in conclusion, I think... I think change is such a complex topic. You know, we can't take away from the fact that change is difficult and that change is really hard sometimes. And I think, you know, we don't live in a perfect world where God is going to be like, look, you don't have to ever go through hardship. Like, that's not realistic. But we live in a world where we've got God to guide us through the hardships. We live in a world where we've got God to hold us and to say, you know what, I'm so sorry that you're going through this, but I'm here for you. I'm here for you, and I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. And when we focus on that, and like I said, we focus on his core attributes as a father, as on his might, when we focus on the fact that he loves us, he's an anchor, when we focus on the fact that we can just put our faith in him and nothing else, like a tunnel vision, just solid faith on God and nobody else, we're free from change, we're free from the pain of change, and we can move forward and feel excitement and joy for the future. So I'd like to encourage you to take a step back and to focus on the changes you're perhaps going through in your life, maybe speak about it to your cell group, and just have a place for individual reflection and ponder. What am I going through in my life right now which I need God? Where is he in this? And how can I find him in scripture? Where can I look for him? And I encourage you to pray, you know, find someone to pray with you and just to share with it. Don't hold it to yourself, share with them. Yeah. And hopefully they can then, you know, pray with you. And I just hope, all I can say is thank you so much as well for being my church for the last 18 years, and I cannot wait to come back every time I come back from uni and share all the changes I've gone through and hopefully hear about yours. So yeah, thank you.